be. Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, we're working for you now. Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock here where I am in beautiful uptown Beckley. Bob, don't bang into the microphone with the news copy. It's highly unprofessional. I am Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, and it's your weekly, nightly confrontation with the facts for this Tuesday night. And starting off just with a little sort of radio high five to our friends down at Coal River Mountain Watch today. They had a rally down at Sundial in front of Goals Coal Company. Now, that's a Massey company, of course. And they've got this huge, vile coal prep plant. This is the one that sits right next to Marsh Fork Elementary School. And they use lots and lots of noxious chemicals. And they're making the kids sick. And there's a little cancer cluster going on among the teachers down there. Asked for comment. Don Blankenship said, "Who gives a damn about cancer? We're making money here." And, of course, there's a huge multi-billion-gallon sludge dam hanging like the sword of Damocles over the school itself. This is the kind of thing that when you tell it to somebody who doesn't live around here, they go, no, you're kidding. Nobody in their right mind would subject children to that kind of danger. Yeah, we do, because Don hasn't, and Massey's shareholders haven't figured out yet that they're still not out there hooking up U-Hauls to hearses. Now, in very peaceful fashion, very, very peaceful fashion, our good friend Bo Webb and our good friend Judy Bonds tried to give some MSHA reports to operators there at Goals. But the minute that they set foot on Goals property, bang, arrested. Well, you know what? If you're going to get arrested for something, for God's sakes, getting arrested in the defense of children, children that we would rather not see poisoned, is about as good a cause as one may reasonably imagine. And just like the days of old, when the state police would come out in defense of the coal operators during the mine wars of the early part of the 20th century, they were there to haul our friends away. Although in this instance, one does not think that it was quite as biased as it was back then, when the state police was made up entirely of out of work Baldwin thugs and Pinkerton men. Now, of course, Massey people say that mountaintop removal is essential to the area's economy. It is essential to the economy of West Virginia that we blow up every mountain we can lay our stinking fingers on. Because, you see, West Virginia is a barren, dull, and boring place, and all these mountains are in our way. And if we can just do what we need to do with mountaintop removal, we can flatten this place. Yeah, I mean, we can flatten it so flat you can sit a marble in the middle of southern West Virginia and it won't roll. That's what we're looking for here. Give you a flat place. Build another Walmart. Oh, speaking of which, almost level West Virginia. Exactly. Did you go by there today? Or did you drive by there today, Jess? No, open your mic. This is a radio. We don't do semaphore, and we're not going to tap out Morse code. Open your mic, Jesse.
All right.
Yeah, there we go.
Actually, I went to school there.
Really?
For many years. Early 90s, when they first opened up, they closed down my other elementary school, and it was pitiful. There was coal dust all over the bricks, and the constant smells and gas sludge ponds hundreds of feet from the school. It was terrible.
And now they want to build a new facility there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the kids aren't breathing enough garbage yet.
Exactly. Massey wants money over the health of for kids. Anybody.
Yeah. Now, did you have health problems going to school?
Actually, I had thought I had asthma for a few years. It wasn't until I started going to high school up the road, farther away from my coal community, till I was fine.
So no asthma?
Nothing at all.
No.
Fine. It was just a horrible air, horrible area I lived in. It's miles of that down there, and it's sad.
That's just depressing. So you live down that way?
Yeah.
Okay. And how many years were you at Marsh Fork Elementary?
4 years, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. And just and this is no reflection on the people trying to work there.
Oh no.
But it's dirty.
It's polluted. There's no other word for it, really.
Well, I mean, you're a young man, and you're a far, far cry from ever considering this kind of thing. Would you ever let your kid go to school there?
Never. Well, it's not only that. You know, I have a personal grudge against some of the faculty there, but no, it's just the down there. It's not the environment I'd like to see.
I mean, it's the Coal River Valley is a beautiful place.
It is. Yeah. Most of it was at one point, and it's starting to deteriorate, and it's just basically it's Sludge River.
Yeah.
It's so much stuff's being dumped into it, and there's not a lot we can do to stop it, but I've been,
God bless the people at Coal River Mountain Watch.
Yeah.
Now, huh?
I'm a strict environmentalist, and I've done my part.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot we can do, but all we can do is try.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks, Jesse. I appreciate
it. No problem.
A little eyewitness information there. But, of course, Massey's profits are more important than our children's health. Right? And Massey's profits are more important than babies in the womb being washed in mercury. Yep, much more important. Much more important. But also the great big super duper Walmart super center at Robert C. Byrd Drive has its grand opening tomorrow. Can't believe we covered this in our news. We're passing this off as news. Hey, West Virginia, we're getting the new Wally World. In West Virginia, I guess that is news. And half of southern West Virginia will come out to see the new Wally World at Walmart. You won't be able to get into the parking lot, and it'll go in. And by golly, it is not going to look like just every other Walmart. This is a high-tech new Walmart. Yes, sir, there's going to be something new to see. They say there's going to be product samples. Woo-wee. And there's going to be giveaways. And store associates are going to sing the national anthem. One wonders if it's our national anthem or the national anthem of China. And there's going to be an invocation. Ooh-wee. Man, oh, man. Oh, and they say there's going to be character appearances. Now, bear in mind, those are only the appearances. There will not be any real character. Just Chinese slave labor garbage and people profiting from it while American jobs continue to go overseas. So, yay, Beckley, another Walmart. The rest of the country is figuring out how to tell Walmart, thanks, but no thanks. Go peddle your garbage somewhere else. Yay, we got us a new one. And what, another year or so, and we get a yay, another one in Fayetteville on top of the dead. Are we just a day late and a dollar short? Are we a little bit behind the learning curve here? Now, what was it? Walmart stock tanked a week or so ago because they announced that they hadn't met profit numbers for the last quarter, and they weren't going to meet it next quarter either. And meanwhile, out in Arizona, they're thanks to an article sent to us by our buddy Gene, they're trying to put the kibosh on Walmart out in communities in Arizona. And Walmart got so desperate that they hauled out footage of book burning, Nazi book burnings. You know, and my side gets a bunch of hell for comparing right-wingers to Nazis. Walmart says not letting Walmart locate anywhere it wants to in Arizona is comparable to Nazi book burnings. Make that one work. I can't. So, hooray, hooray, hooray. Tons and tons and tons of more Chinese garbage made by Chinese slaves will be for sale tomorrow, beginning tomorrow at the
Walmart Super Center with its plasma TVs, giving customers a better picture of what's going on in the store. It all starts tomorrow at the brand new Walmart Super Center in MacArthur. Disgusting. Let's take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's the first annual Beckley Auto Mall Poker Run. This Memorial Day, May 30th. Profits to benefit the Relay for Life American Cancer Society. Registration begins at 9 a.m. The first bike out at 10 a.m. The last bike in at 4:30. Best hand wins $200. Second best hand, $100. If you've got the worst hand, you get $50. Only $10 for entry and $5 for your passenger. The run starts and ends at Beckley Auto Mall. And it doesn't matter what you ride. All makes of bikes are welcome. The first annual Beckley Auto Mall Poker Run. Memorial Day starting at 9 a.m.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet. Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far. So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes. That's nothing. My dad can make a 362 landing backwards slam dunk with his eyes closed. Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose. Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bucket out. Yep. That's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way!
Uh-huh, I saw him do it. Cool. Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
The defendant, having been found guilty, is sentenced to 10 years imprisonment. The defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On September 15th, my son was sentenced to 10 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 10 years of worrying every single night if my baby is okay.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right.
Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Yeah, about 20 minutes after 7 o'clock. Just so you'll know, there is a public hearing scheduled for 6 o'clock this Thursday evening. Massey has applied to build a second loading silo next to the first down at Marsh Fork Elementary. It's 150 feet from the school grounds. Do they really need it? Is it really worth those children's health down there? I don't think it is. Do you? And they're also seeking renewal of their permit to operate the waste facility. Yum, yum. So if you want to, feel free to join in the opposition to the further poisoning of West Virginia children in the Coal River Valley. You know, if you care about children, if you're pro-life. And this one, all this out of Karl Mack's Big Stacko News, another one to sort of gag your gut, if you will. Workers' compensation officials have launched efforts to review lifetime benefits to injured workers over the last 12 years. Once again, blame the workers. God knows, you know, we just put through this huge bailout of a bunch of coal companies that refused to pay their premiums, so we're in hock. For the next 30 years, we're in hock on a bunch of bonds that will transfer our tax dollars upwards to people who don't pay taxes in the first place. From now on, injured workers receiving permanent total disability awards as of April 8th, 1993, we're going back 12 years, have to routinely prove they still need the lifetime benefits. Shouldn't the burden be on the state to prove that they don't? These people have proven their case in a competent court once before. They have done their part. They have gone to, when you're talking about a permanent total disability file, you're talking about something that can take up two accordion files for one person. Yeah, thicker than two New York phone books of medical records. Workers' comp says, go to this doctor. Okay, injured guy goes to that doctor. The employer says, and go to this doctor while you're at it. And then there's another doctor, and there's a doctor for this, and there's a psychiatrist, and there's a psychologist, and there's a rehab counselor. And there's surgeries, and there's fights over medication. And finally, we're going back to April 8th, 1993. Somebody that got permanent total disability on April 8th, 1993, there's every chance in the world that their final injury and their last day of employment was sometime in the mid-1970s. Or at best, the late 1980s. That's how long it takes. And they have been tortured and tormented and run through the system. They have been folded, spindled, and mutilated. Inspected, neglected, and rejected until finally they got a little justice and they got their permanent total disability award. And now we're going to start looking back and blaming them and trying to take benefits away? This is not the mark of a Christian state. Well, there goes Bob again. It's not. A state that favors coal companies over the people who have given their lives and their well-being, no, that's no Christian state. Oh. Now, Andy Wessels is a workers' comp spokesman. He says it's estimated that at least 6,500 people received permanent total disability benefits in those 12 years. And they're going to re-examine that award every 18 months. So they're just going to hassle these people till they die. And you know what? That's wrong. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on. Did you get the beep?
Okay, there's the big beep.
Yeah.
I know it's, you're short on time.
That's okay.
I just wanted to point out something. I mean, see, that's the problem with you liberals. Here's what y'all, so you drug out some kid that, what, he breathed coal dust or something?
Yeah, I mean.
And you want to, next thing you'll know, you'll be dragging out homeless veterans or something. That's what turns you off. That's what turns people off about you guys.
Yeah, because we're all the time trying to make people have a decent life.
Yeah, and stand up for people and, things like that.
Yeah, when if I had any real moral courage, Wayne, I'd be standing up for the people that need standing up for, wouldn't I? I'd be standing up for Massey.
Yeah, there you go. Without them, you couldn't have it.
Yeah.
The argument.
Yeah. There are a lot of first-time listeners that may not understand, Wayne, that you were engaging in sarcasm.
Oh, really? Wow. Well, then I did my job.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, no. This is disgusting.
Well, listen, what you were talking about before, I haven't been around for a while. I've been tied up.
Yeah, I understand.
But I was in a conference in Baltimore, and the name of the conference was Good Jobs First.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what it dealt with was, I think you alluded to things earlier. Corporations want to expand. They want to develop. They want to do this. They want to do that. These people are saying, well, what we ought to tell the Walmarts of the world or the Toyotas or the whomevers, what do we get? They call them CBAs, Community Benefit Agreements. Okay, we want you to come to our town, but you want these tax breaks, you want us to build the infrastructure. Here's what we want. We want jobs that pay a living wage. We want jobs that provide health insurance and we want jobs that provide pension.
And if you can't do that, don't come here.
We don't need you.
Right.
You know, these people, you got to remember, when these, if a company decides to develop something, Toyota.
Yeah.
Okay. Toyota knows where they're coming.
Oh,
they know where they're coming before they even say they're coming.
Right.
But then they say, well, we're going to build something here, but it might be Ohio, might be West Virginia, might be Kentucky. So then the competition begins.
Yeah, and and the competition is a nasty little race to the bottom.
That's exactly what it is. And the people and the race, the whole deal is how much more can we screw the people?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I'm sorry. That's what it is. So people around the country have started standing up to these corporations and say, we welcome you, Mr. Walmart, Mr. Toyota, Lowe's, whomever. But here's what we want from you.
Well,
and if you can't do that, then go somewhere else.
It's interesting. You talk about communities and demanding they do the right thing by their workers. In this Walmart store story off of the news desk, there's a very pointed line in there, Wayne, that says, the news store employs about 437 associates, many of whom will be full-time. Now, I just divided 437 by 2. That's 218.5 or point whatever, but that's 218 people. Now, if 218 of those people were going to be full-time, the story would say, most of whom will be full-time.
Right.
Because a majority is a most. Most
exactly.
of is, 50% plus one.
Well, exactly.
So we know
the average wage is,
So we know that at least 218 people working at that new Walmart super-duper center, at least 218 of those people are going to be working there part-time, no benefits. And barely above minimum wage.
The thing with Walmart is even if they were full-time, they wouldn't be able to afford the benefits.
And we know
there's virtually no benefits.
Right, and we know that because there's going to be 437 employees, we know that based upon the numbers that have been run, that's going to cost the state of West Virginia something on the order of $1.4 million a year in subsidies for health care.
Okay.
We
don't even know. I mean, where is that? MAPSCOT?
MacArthur.
MacArthur. Are they incorporated? What did they give them? What kind of tax breaks did they give them?
God only knows.
Well, we have to find out.
Because we're not privileged to that kind of information.
They've changed it a little. I think you could find out after.
Oh.
You could find out.
You can run and inspect the barn after the horses are gone?
Yeah. You could find out how you got messed over after they're officially done messing over you.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Now that's good government at work.
Yeah, ain't it?
Oh, I tell you what, it just makes you want to tear your hair out and run around the room screaming.
Hey, listen, man, you've said it many times here at Radio Free Beckley.
Yep.
I thought about asking at one time, was this the headquarters for the resistance?
It
and
is.
I figured that put us in that, what do they call them? Act the lone terror. What is that?
oh, lone wolf terrorist.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Get back on the phone. I got to do this.
So I figured we better not use that later.
Yeah, hold the phone back from your ear for a minute. Lone wolf terrorist. Woo! Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Wayne, we got a break, man.
All right, brother.
Good to hear you, brother. Hang in there.
Hey, I reserve the right to call back.
Hey, I reserve the right to let you.
All right, pal.
All right, we'll see you. Okay, bottom of the hour break time. Lone wolf. No, this is the heart of the resistance. This is radio for loyal America. This is radio for America that loves the Constitution and all of our democratic traditions. This is radio for the real republic. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Looks like it is indeed a tragic example of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Huntington police say three of those four teens killed at a high school prom Sunday night may have been shot to prevent them from identifying the person or persons who shot the fourth. The four were killed Sunday morning on the front lawn of an apartment where one of the victims, 19-year-old Dante Ward, lived. Captain Steve Hall says Ward may have been the target. The other victims were 18-year-old Edric Clark of South Point, Ohio, 17-year-old Michael Dillon of Huntington, and 16-year-old Megan Poston of Barbersville. Poston was Dillon's date to his prom at Huntington High School on Saturday night. A former assistant state school superintendent has pleaded guilty to federal charges of extortion and filing a false tax return. Glenn Allen McClung's plea today in U.S. District Court involves his role in the awarding of contracts to help McDowell and Wyoming County schools recover from flooding in 2001. Huntington City Council has rejected a proposal to double the city's hotel occupancy tax to 6%. The council voted on the measure last night after hearing concerns from a hotel manager that the tax would put his establishment at a disadvantage to hotels outside the city. In the wake of last week's mauling of a toddler by a pit bull in Huntington, a state lawmaker is proposing that those who own vicious dogs carry more insurance. Monongalia County Delegate Cindy Fritch says she doesn't want to outlaw breeds like pit bulls and Rottweilers, but she says owners of these kind of dogs have some responsibility to protect people. Last Tuesday, that pit bull named Brutus attacked and killed 2-year-old Ariano Fleeman in Huntington. Fleeman's mother was seriously injured when she tried to protect her daughter and pull the dog off. Fritch says her own niece was attacked 5 years ago by a pit bull and needed 400 stitches on her face. That's the news. Here's the forecast. Miserable. Tonight, showers and drizzle, low near 42. But tomorrow, maybe some relief. Cloudy in the morning and then becoming partly cloudy by afternoon and a little bit warmer. Tomorrow's high in the mid-60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
AFL-CIO President John Sweeney has produced a comprehensive set of reforms for the International Labor Federation that includes plans to help unions organize more workers, to revamp union member mobilization, creating a permanent culture of activism, and to rebuild state and local labor movements, all aimed at building power for working families. Sweeney says there will also soon be a restructuring of AFL-CIO staff that could mean layoffs.
We are moving forward with plans to reorganize our staff and budget to reflect these priorities.
The ultimate shape of AFL-CIO reform will be decided at its July convention in Chicago. In response to Sweeney's announcement of reform proposals, a joint statement by presidents of the SEIU, Teamsters, Laborers, Unite Here, and the UFCW said that, quote, while there is universal agreement on the need to win for working families, there remains a striking difference in beliefs about what workers can achieve, end quote. That statement said that as leaders of some of the largest affiliates of the AFL-CIO, these union presidents believe that uniting workers who are not yet in unions must be at the top of labor's agenda, and they renewed their call on Sweeney to provide complete information on the AFL-CIO's programming and operational budget.
From George Washington University to University of Mary Washington, students are demanding that service workers on their campus receive living wages and better working conditions. Now that fight is heating up on the campus of Washington, D.C.'s Howard University, a historically black college. Selena Masuta of the D.C. Radio Co-op reports from the District of Columbia.
For Irene Swefferman, a staff member at United States Student Association and a Howard University alum, what is happening at Howard represents a long history of student struggle. The workers' rights
movement down in Tennessee and all those things that kind of spurred and sparked the civil rights movement, those are the things that we've been fighting for historically as a community. So we're learning that these are the same things that were fought for in the civil rights movement and that have been fighting for time and time and time again. So for it to hit us here at home, it's just kind of, again, proving the point that we still have so much to overcome as a community.
After 6 months of negotiating, the president of Howard, H. Patrick Swigert, has only offered a 2% increase. Selena Masuta, Workers Independent News in Washington, D.C.
Here's today's Darbob report. According to the Labor Research Association, George W. Bush's $2.57 trillion budget for 2006 increases military spending by 4.8%, not including the war in Iraq, and cuts all other federal government programs, with the deepest cuts aimed at services for working Americans and the poor. His tax cuts that primarily benefit the affluent will add $10 trillion to the deficit over the next 20 years. The LRA says Bush's budget shifts resources to the military while shifting the tax burden to the working class. You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org. Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Welcome back. 23 minutes before 8 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-WWNR. That's 9967. And, of course, email comes to bob@headonradio.com. And you can go to headonradio.com through our own website at wwnrnewstalk620.com, whence you go for the stream itself. And at my website, I've got message boards for you, various and sundry fora. See, fora is the plural of forum. It's not forums. It's fora. Various and sundry fora that you can engage in dialogue, argument, cantankerous debate, if you will. And, well, what more can... It's free. Because I'm that kind of guy. So jump on in and have yourself a darn good old time. To the phones, Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Good evening.
How are you?
Oh, I love this weather.
I'm glad somebody does.
Well, listen, I just took off my whitening strip, and I'm getting my black cloak with a red lining. I'm going to brush back through my hair, and I'm going to go profiling after sunset.
It's about the weather for it.
What time are you going to be out there to take the smoke break?
Oh, about every half hour on top of the hour. Out on the veranda.
Well, just don't wear any garlic around your neck. That just gives me the worst headache. Speaking of headaches, have you gotten over yours from last night?
Oh, I'm fine.
I saw Senator Byrd's office today.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I talked to one of his staffers who was the point of contact for this compromise, for lack of a better term.
What did they have to say?
Well, I just told her, I said, this is regrettable that your boss had to try to do what he had to do.
Oh, I think he was trying to do the right thing.
And that's what I told her, but I said, you know, this is relevant of another event in history called Munich. And I said, you know, the locomotive that's forcing you people to get on this train are Mr. Frist and Dick Cheney. And, of course, there's the head vampire of all, George W.
Yeah, and
I just, you know, basically she said that they had to do it or it would have just been a total train wreck and they would have just tried to smash through everything. And I said, well, it's been temporarily postponed.
And emphasis on the word temporarily, Jim.
I said by summer's end, they're going to try something else.
Well, see, I was watching C-SPAN this morning, C-SPAN 2, when they carried the initial debate on ending, you know, on cloture. And I saw early in the process Lindsey Graham from your native state stand up, and I guess he's trying to position himself, Jim, as some sort of statesman.
He's a very ambitious little man.
Yes, he is. And
I'll just leave it at that, okay?
Well,
I know him. I know him. I know him personally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, ambitious, because he was certainly, there was nothing statesmanlike about him when he was howling for Clinton's blood during the impeachment. I remember that very well.
How well I remember.
But he got up trying to seem statesmanlike and said, we are going to eventually destroy the fabric of the judiciary if we don't stop trying to keep right-wing freaks from getting on the bench.
listen.
But what he said, Jim, hold on just a second, because this is important.
Okay.
He made a profit out of me again. Insofar as I said last night that you know, the Democrats had agreed to only filibuster judges, judicial appointments under extraordinary circumstances. And he said there that if Democrats filibuster, Republicans will determine what constitutes an extraordinary circumstance, and that they, by God, will bring on the final solution if they want to.
Well, that simply does not surprise me, because that's what this whole thing was built on.
Well, of course. I mean, look at the three who are going to get through. William Pryor out of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Janice Rogers Brown, this woman who says that old people are cannibalizing the young by cashing their social security checks. And Priscilla Owen, who just recently was rated with the highest poor rating of any judge in Texas by the Texas Bar Association.
Well, you know, Bush, I mean, you know, look at this man. He's really at the nexus or the center of all this. You know that.
No, of course.
And, you know, this man, I'm
Carl
Rove. And I can say this unequivocally. I would not trade places with that man on Judgment Day for all the money in the world, for all the tea in Mexico. I mean, this man, as far as I'm concerned, is totally amoral. He has so much blood on his hands. I mean, for example, inherited, you know, when they went over into Iraq and they found the first mass graves, those mass graves were there because his father left people the wrong impression.
Well, he left them hanging.
From Saddam and left them hanging, okay?
Yeah.
That's where the mass graves came from. And now he has a good 150,000 on his hands right now.
Mm-hmm.
And at 6 points a person, that's a lot of blood.
That's a swimming pool.
That would definitely fill the reflecting pool in front of the National Mall and probably go into the tidal basin as well. And, you know, blood is very precious to me, but it's not to him. And this man does not take advice easily. And the operative word is the president shall, with the advice and consent of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And he does not heed advice. The only thing he looks for is approbation, approval.
Yes.
In his advisors and in his relationships with people. He does not seek their advice.
Well, if you want some
or their counsel.
If you want
he
some
only seeks their approval.
If you want some high comedy, Jim, I've got in front of me the Memorandum of Understanding on Judicial Nominations.
Now, they have an MOU on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is Part 2, Commitments for Future Nominations. Okay, it's just gorgeous. This is a quote, we encourage the executive branch of government to consult with members of the Senate, both Democratic and Republican, prior to submitting a judicial nomination to the Senate for consideration. Well, you know, they can invite George Bush to consult with them all they want, but this man thinks he is the emperor of the world. I mean, this guy is, George Lucas says he didn't mean for it to be this way, but this guy is Emperor Palpatine. Okay, this guy is the evil emperor, and he's going. The only consultation he will offer the Senate, and different analogy here, is the same consultation that what was it? Caligula offered the Senate when he led Incitatus the horse into that body and made him a member of the Roman Senate. Kind of consultation you get from George Bush.
I mean, I've seen pictures of the Reich Chancellery after it was opened in 1939 when Speer built it for Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was kind of really a beautiful building, except there was one room, and it was a meeting for the Reich Cabinet, and it was never used.
Well, what need was there for it?
You know.
Yeah.
Because guess who ran the show?
Well, sure.
Now, it was down the hall at Adolf's office. That's where it all came from. The Reich Cabinet didn't have to meet, and the room was never used. And that's essentially, you know, about the same function that George Bush would like to have the Senate, in my humble opinion.
I'm trying to remember in the original Bram Stoker Dracula, who's the guy that winds up being his Dracula's assistant?
Renfield,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, master.
Yeah, exactly.
Tom Waits.
I'm thinking that's Karl Rove. He's George's little Renfield.
Oh, I don't know. George and Karl Rove is more than that to him. Karl Rove is probably Oh, I don't know. He's probably his daytime familiar.
Well, that would work, too. But
you know, who keeps people away from the coffin or whatever. I don't
know. In all these machinations, though, Jim,
These are not honorable men, Mr. Kincaid.
No, they're not.
And this was not a compromise. This was a peace that...
It was.
That's all there is for it.
Well, again...
The operative word here again. It's not compromise. It is appeasement, and that's all there is to it.
Well, I put it to you this way. If the Democrats had promised to only filibuster on in extraordinary circumstances, how much more extraordinary does it have to get? I mean, if Priscilla Owen and Janice Rogers Brown and William Pryor are not extraordinarily extraordinary extreme nominations, what the hell is?
Priscilla Owen.
Well, no.
She is a sick woman.
Well, Janice Rogers Brown is the one from California. She's the black lady. Priscilla Owen is the one from Texas, and she's the one who was nothing more than a low-rent briefcase-carrying oil company lackey before Karl Rove got her a seat on the Texas Supreme Court.
And they want to put these people in positions of relatively high authority.
They are both going on to the Circuit Court of Appeals.
And from there to going as where?
Well,
he has three possible Supreme Court justices that he can nominate in the next 3 years.
Well,
okay,
but see, it's more complicated than that. There are two with one vacancy on the Supreme Court, and we've got a pretty good idea which one that's going to be. That's going to be Rehnquist, okay? And he is Chief Justice.
Mm-hmm.
So there are not one but two Supreme Court fights coming. Because he's going to have to nominate a replacement for Rehnquist, but Rehnquist's replacement is not necessarily going to be Chief Justice. There will have to be a confirmation fight over whoever replaces Rehnquist, and there will have to be a confirmation fight over whoever he nominates as Chief Justice.
Well, I've heard it on pretty good authority that might be Clarence Thomas.
Oh, Slappy Porno King? Yeah, I know.
Yes, there's an alien pubic hair in my gym of that thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there was something about that just never rang true either.
Well, no.
The whole thing with Anita Hill. I mean, you
know. Well, we found out later in David Brock's book, Blinded by the Right, he was the one that did the hatchet job on Anita Hill.
Yes, he did.
And he came out and he explained that it was a fraud. That it was pure hatchet work done at the behest of Orrin Hatch, and it was just pure character assassination because George Bush was going to have Slappy Thomas on that court or die trying. Now today, Slappy and Fat Tony Scalia came out and declared that they were two lone dissenters in a 7-2 decision. They declared that persons convicted of murder should be held in shackles and handcuffs before the jury during the punishment phase of the trial.
You know, what are they trying to do? Go back to the days of when they tried those people who were involved in Lincoln's assassination?
Listen, you got to remember, Fat Tony Scalia is a member of Opus Dei, Jim. I mean, and as a member of Opus Dei, Fat Tony Scalia thinks the Inquisition was really pretty cool. That's what we're dealing with on the Supreme Court. So when it comes time to nominate either Slappy or Fat Tony as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, how in God's name can the Democrats bring up a filibuster of that? Insofar as they promised not to do it unless it was an extraordinary circumstance. Well, the dude's already sitting on the Supreme Court. They've been through the confirmation process. They've been approved by the Senate. How can it possibly be extraordinary? So, of course, the Republicans scream bad faith, and they bring out the final solution, and boom. There we are.
Well, their final solution is simply to
gut the Senate.
Down vote in a filibuster.
Yeah, gut the Senate rules and turn it into a pure tyranny of the majority and completely abrogate everything that the founders and the framers of the Constitution had in mind when they put the Senate together.
But in the Constitution, these bodies, the Congress, the House, and the Senate, can basically make their own rules.
Well, of course
they can.
Change. Yeah, and they can.
Now, originally, a majority to do this was 67%.
Right.
And then it went to 3/5. I think, or 60%. Is that right?
Yeah. What happened is Debate wasn't even limited at all until 1917, and that's when cloture came along. And it was 1805, and it was calling the technique was called calling the previous question. Aaron Burr recommended in his farewell address to the Senate in 1805 that they eliminate calling the previous question so that there could be unlimited debate in the Senate, so that the cool reflection could temper the hot passions of the House. And that's what they did in 1805, and there was unlimited debate in the Senate until 1917, when the concept of cloture was invoked.
That was a mistake.
And cloture in 1917 required a two-thirds majority, and it was later backed off to 3/5.
Well, you know, obviously, they have taken the rods out of the reactor.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a meltdown.
Well, and
that's what's going to happen.
And that's the thing.
This is just a temporary thing. And
Jim, these poor damn fool Democrats don't even understand that these seven Republicans will put the shiv right between their ribs when the moment is appropriate. Lindsey Graham stood there. He said it. We are the Republican Party. We are the majority. And we will tell you, little pipsqueak Democrats, when we think there's an extraordinary circumstance and you can filibuster.
Well, the only thing I can say is this. None of these people have a lease on life. And in 2006, I hope that the American people will have enough sense to realize the monster they have unleashed in the Capitol.
Well, the problem, though, is that...
Yeah. And, you know, I just hope that perhaps that the Democrats can be able to regain control. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. It's times are very dim, but...
Well, I can't understand, Jim, why people keep talking about majority rule in the Senate, because it's not a majority place. If it was a majority place, then obviously New York and Florida and California and Texas and yada, yada, yada would have a whole lot more votes than Delaware, Rhode Island, West Virginia, Iowa, Idaho.
That's right. I mean, that's
Wyoming.
I mean, Bob, this is what was called the Connecticut Compromise. Okay?
Right. Yeah, I know what it is.
I think proposed by Roger Sherman, was it?
No, I know it was wrangled back and forth.
And it was to apportion the House in a certain way and to apportion the Senate in a certain way. Okay.
That's the front end of it. Yeah.
And this was a compromise. So that was truly a compromise because they would allow, you know, the House has so many members based on population, and each state would have the same number of representatives in the Senate. And, you know, apparently, they are really trying to do some serious tinkering with with this Constitution. And I predict, really, that this Constitution is really going by the board. These people are going to, unless something drastic happens.
You know, I remember the words from Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, whether this nation or any nation so constituted can long endure.
And well, I don't think it can long endure like this. Really don't. And I think it's, you know, it's 2006, 2008 are going to be critical watershed dates. Now, Frist is not going to run for Senate. He's already said that because he wants the Oval Office. And I just don't believe he's going to be able to get that.
Well, by what he did and what he said after that, because you could see the venom, the hate and the venom in his face.
He is
this morning.
A normal human being.
Yes, he is. Anyone that hates God's creatures as much as he does can't help but, I mean, he's a misanthrope. He's a monster. But you could see the hate and the venom on his face. You could hear it in his voice this morning when he decried the agreement that had taken away his naked, raw, Stalin-esque exercise of power. And so,
do you think that might be enough to let people know what they're dealing with?
No, no, Jim. It's the other way round. It's the other way round. You gotta connect the dots with Terry Schiavo. And you've got to understand that in doing what he did, he has absolutely solidified himself with the knuckle walking, mouth breathing, politicized religion industry, Taliban Christianity America. He has got Dobson, Falwell, Robertson, Kennedy, all of these monstrous creeps. He's got them right in his hip pocket, and he is their boy in 08.
You think so?
I don't think so, Jim. I know so. And I am as sure of this as I am of my own salvation. I know so. Because, you know, who's Dobson going to support? McCain? They have run McCain from pillar to post all day long today as some sort of Judas goat of the Republican right.
Really?
Oh, my God. Flush Flimball, I thought he was going to have an aneurysm.
Maybe he will.
We could hope, but do you see what I'm saying? Frist could do no wrong in this circumstance. If he invoked the final solution, fine. If he didn't invoke the final solution, fine. If it was taken away from him, fine. Because as long as he stands up there as the great white knight of the white supremacist right wing Taliban fake Christian religion industry, he is okay.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, Frist, for what he's tried to do, these are actionable for impeachment.
Oh, he sure they are.
And also for a criminal trial afterwards.
He's an enemy of freedom, pure and simple, Jim.
And, you know, I just don't, I don't know why this man is allowed to do what he's doing and what these people think they're doing to themselves, because they're bringing the whole thing down on right. They're bringing the whole house, the whole temple right down on them.
Jim, when Goldwater lost in 1964, the Republicans gathered themselves together, and especially the hard right wing, and they said, "We will control this country." And through a process of dumbing down America, through a process of selective communication. I mean, I sat there and I listened to those Republican senators talk today, and you know what? To the same extent that you have to really admire the fashion sense of the Third Reich, those were some nifty-looking uniforms.
Yeah.
I had to admire the communication skills of the Republican Party, because these guys stayed on message, they stayed on topic, they did not stray. I mean, they started out with, oh, my God, Jeff Sessions from Alabama. I mean, this guy couldn't pour rainwater out of a boot with directions on the heel.
No.
And he sat there, and I mean, you could just see the blood dripping from his fangs as he told the Democrats in the minority that they had damned well better look out, because he was going to come for him, and he was going to get him some flesh if they dared to step out of line and try to filibuster one of these freaks. We're out of time, though, Jim. Thanks so much for the conversation.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Hang in there. Later. All right, break time, top of the hour news. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
National Multiple Sclerosis Society, Michael McKean and David Lander.
David, did you know that the National Multiple Sclerosis Society is the world leader in MS research services and professional education?
Yep, they've been helping me for over 20 years, and we can help them by visiting their website or calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS.
You know everything.
I get around.
I know you're in there, yo, man. Yo, Kenny, we got school. Kenny, come on! Don't make me break down this door. I'm not lending you money when you're 50. All right. That's it. Come on, y'all.
Whatever it takes. Don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Stop shouting already. What do you think you're doing?
Helping you, that's what.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back.
Now, this is from the "Oh my God, I can't make this stuff up" department. In the land of my birth, Alabama, home of political weirdness, the likes of which one may seldom imagine, there is a congressman. His name is Spencer Bacchus, B-A-C-H-U-S. He represents the 6th District of Alabama, down around Birmingham, Clanton, places like that. And he's out, he's got his pandering stump out. Pandering to the mouth breathers. What's he doing? Oh, wait for it. Wait for it. This is just too good. Yeah, he wants Bill Maher. You know, Bill Maher, entertainer. Funny guy. He wants Bill Maher charged with treason. Because Bill Maher said, this is a quote, "The Army missed its recruiting goal by 42% last month. More people joined the Michael Jackson fan club. We've done picked all the low-lying Lindy England fruit, and now we need warm bodies." And Spencer Bacchus wants him charged with treason for pointing out that, what, West Virginia's little poster girl for the Iraq War, Lindy England, is less than a salutary figure of military admiration and heroism? Again, I can't make this stuff up. He's out on a crusade. He's demanding, damn it, demanding that HBO's parent company, Time Warner, cancel Bill Maher. Now, of course, you remember Bill Maher was canceled before by ABC for suggesting on Politically Incorrect that the people who flew those hijacked planes into our very tall buildings and into our Pentagon were not cowards. Just plain old garden variety political speech, political observation, philosophical observation, frankly. And the right wing got him censored for that. So now, Spencer Bacchus has gone after Real Time with Bill Maher, because Bill was apparently not sufficiently obsequious enough to Lindy England. Now that's we've done picked all the low-lying Lindy England fruit. Out of that, Spencer Bacchus arrives at this. "To characterize the men and women currently serving and risking their lives in Afghanistan and Iraq as low-lying fruit is reprehensible." Damn. Do you see how these Republicans operate? Do you understand the fundamental nature, and I do use fundamental intentionally, of the Republican right wing? He picks up a comment that Bill Maher made about Lindy England and extrapolates that onto the entire military. Now, for my part, I find it objectionable that Congressman Bacchus equates every man and woman serving in the military with Lindy England. Okay? But that's what he did. Again, Bill Maher says, "We done picked all the low-lying Lindy England fruit." In other words, Lindy England is less than a model for our military. And this guy, and you got to understand, this guy was the campaign manager for a man named Guy Hunt, who was the first Republican governor of Alabama since God was a baby. And Guy Hunt, Republican, got into office in Alabama and immediately began using the state plane. He was a minister of the gospel, Guy Hunt was. and it began using the state airplane. I'm not sure down in Alabama. I think it's a biplane. It might be one of the Wright brothers' originals. But it began using the state airplane to fly around to camp meetings and preach whilst he was still the governor. And whilst he was the governor, he would pass the hat at a tent meeting. Well, you know, have you ever met a preacher who could pass up the opportunity to pass the hat and make a little extra money? I haven't. So Guy Hunt was charged and convicted. Guy Hunt of Holly Pond, Alabama. And this guy, this creep Bacchus, was his campaign manager. This was the guy who said, "Why, go on, Governor Guy, get on that state airplane, fly off to that tent meeting. Handle a few snakes, drink a little strychnine, Brother Guy, then come on back and be governor some more." And somehow or another, Spencer Bacchus found his way into the Congress. And he says, "This supremely insensitive and offensive statement is an affront not only to service members, but to their families, loved ones, and friends, as well as anyone who respects the sacrifice made by the troops now serving under difficult and dangerous conditions." Hey, dimwit! The difficult and dangerous conditions they're serving under are of your and your stinking party's own creation. Got me? "To make such callous remarks about men and women who daily risk their lives to protect the safety of Alpha America is despicable." Oh, Lord, what do you do with morons like this? There's no... You can't communicate with people like this. I read this morning, so I hopped on the computer, fired it up, went to his website, had about four paragraphs going there, you know, you sorry, addle-pated, blah, 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 blah. Then I thought better of it. So I just deleted all of that. And instead I just put, "Sir, your disdain for the Constitution of the United States in seeking to quash the free speech of Bill Maher." No, that was the first part. No, what I said, "Sir, I was going to upbraid you for your lack of regard for the Constitution of this country. But then I remembered the biblical admonition against casting pearls before swine. So I will keep my pearls to myself, and you, sir, may continue to oink away to your mouth-breathing, snake-handling, strychnine-drinking, Republican religion industry faithful." But I did add, "I remain constantly amazed that we, the people, the Americans, lovers of freedom, actually pay the likes of you to spew this foolishness." Now, if you would like to write to Congressman Bacchus yourself, you will have to go to his website. Then it says contact me. He doesn't even have enough technological savvy to have his own email page. He relies on the House's email page, and you will have to use a zip code inside his district, say Clanton, Alabama, to make the email go to him. But, you know, we're progressive liberals. We're decent people. We can figure out how to do it. Let him know that he's a moron. Let this guy know that you would not trust him in an outhouse with a muzzle on. Spencer Bacchus, 6th District of Alabama. "Make such callous remarks about men and women who daily risk their lives to protect the safety of their America." Excuse me. Nobody's protecting my safety in Afghanistan or Iraq. At best, the military is protecting my safety by being here at home in case we are attacked. We know, the world knows, that the Iraq War was a sad and sorry little fraud perpetrated, I don't know, perhaps for psychological reasons that that are best understood by George Bush and his daddy, and God knows, that mother of his. But no one's protecting anyone's safety. Yes, they are. They are protecting each other's safety. Go read the comments of the real live honest-to-goodness soldier at blogspot.warisreal.com. He explains to you how people feel who are serving in Iraq. They're there trying to survive and protect their unit mates and get home alive and hopefully unshattered. They have no illusions about fighting for freedom because they know better. And yet this moron, Spencer Bacchus, can conflate a criticism of Lindy England into a mass criticism of the military. And, of course, remember, being America, we're not allowed to criticize anything that the Republicans say we shouldn't. Because they hate freedom. They hate debate. They hate dissent. They hate any challenge to their lack of a hold on anything approaching logic. Oh, yeah, and the stem cell thingy going down today. There was some real beautiful Republicanism going on there, too. So let's take a break, and maybe we'll come back and talk about that. This is Head On. You know me. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Assigned as aid directs new funds and new focus to the task of collecting vital intelligence on terrorist threats and on weapons of mass production.
Head On.
Where there's a tornado
or there's a forest fire,
when Mother Nature is at her worst.
Oh, yeah. Where there's a search
and there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
When disaster strikes,
or one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
You are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
Dear Mama, my first 5 years, I learned a lot. How to walk, talk, brush my teeth.
But for food, I'm pretty much counting on you.
I don't know what's good for me.
I can't use the stove, drive to the store. It's up to you.
So if you need help, there's WIC.
WIC. Women, infants, children.
They'll tell you what's good for me. Even provide food. Because what I eat my first 5 years will affect me the rest of my life.
Love always, your child.
Get proper nutrition before it's too late. Call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food. For women, infants, children. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO.
P.S. It doesn't cost anything.
Your child has you, and you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ag Council.
Number 1,200,000.
This year, United Way helped provide quality child care for over a million families.
Number 1,200,000.
We took more than 700,000 homeless off the streets and gave them shelter.
100,900.
But none of the numbers really matter. What matters to United Way are the people behind them.
My name is Mary.
The independents are fostering the communities and the school.
Carla.
Those results go beyond the numbers. And for United Way, that's what matters. For more information, call your local United Way or log on to unitedway.org.
Here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. 20 minutes after 8 o'clock, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. The phone number, I've been remiss tonight, the phone number is 252-6200, and then outside the local dialing area, it's 800-620-WWNR, 9967, and email is bob@headonradio.com. It's all that easy. Ed has been waiting. Hey, Ed, you're Head On. Thanks for joining us.
How you doing, Bob?
Doing all right.
Sound like you are. I just got a couple comments, and I would like to get a comment from you on one of them.
Sure.
Or any of them, really. But I listen to Bill Maher a lot.
Yeah.
And their problem is not with Jessica Lynch or anyone like that, I don't think. It's because he really busts a cap on their hind end for what they're doing.
Yeah, he wears them out.
Yeah, and then, you know, what they want is to get Rush Limbaugh and people of that nature into our Girl Scouts and our schools, because they know that when people go to school and get halfway smart, they can put the picture together and come back and tell their people, and they're afraid of losing those as customers or potential voters.
Right.
So they can, if they can keep a nation like they got it now, then they're at a big advantage. But people, even the people that's tuning in Bill Maher for a laugh or a relaxation is pretty much getting the picture of what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. Bill Maher is smart as a whip, and he sticks it to them where they feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, because he is a threat to the Republican need to keep the sheeple as dumb as possible, they've got to try to eliminate him.
Yep, that's what they're trying to get out of the total picture, is anybody that would inform him and speak against him, they want to roll over him like a bulldozer.
Sure.
But did you hear the latest on the remark or catch what Bush said today? We'll spend no more money to destroy life, talking about the stem cells. I don't know how you feel about that. I haven't heard, but I'm for any kind of thing that would improve the standard of or quality of life for people.
Absolutely, Ed. I sort of take the pro Jesus stance on this. I'm for anything that helps to alleviate human suffering. And you know, we all understand that George Bush is a damn fool, okay?
Yeah.
And as such, it's understandable that he wouldn't be able to tell the difference between a baby and an embryo consisting of four cells in a freezer somewhere.
Yeah. Well, if it was one of his daughters, he'd be real quick to catch on to it, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. If one of his daughters, or God knows his sainted mother, had something wrong with her that stem cells could cure, we'd have he'd have her in some country where they've already got a stem cell cure together. You know, America is way behind the curve right now because of these anti-science Luddites in the Republican Party that are against the advancements of science. I mentioned it last night, Ed. If it had been left to the Republican Party, we would still be plagued with polio in this country because these right-wing fake pseudo-Christians would say, well, polio is part of God's will, and that's just too bad about your baby having polio, but it's God's will.
That's, you know, brought on us because we got streetwalkers and gamblers.
And don't forget the queers.
Yeah, and the queers. But I listened to a guy in France. He's from here. He was in the news this evening, and he said if Bush don't approve it, it's going to come from somewhere else. In other words, they're going to develop it somewhere, and it will be available to us. It's just like the cases where the people that had the money could go and get the abortions when they weren't legal, when you couldn't do it in this country.
Right.
But the point I was going to make on this, no more public money to destroy life.
Right.
My question is, how about Iraq? Are we going to use any more? Does that mean they're going to bring the soldiers home, Bob?
No, because those are brown lives over there, and they don't count as much as good white American lives.
Yep, you got it. But, you know, you're talking about the height of hypocrisy and the fact that he makes statements like this and then contradicts them just like this one. No more public money to destroy life.
And the Johnny-on-the-spot Washington press corps absolutely, Ed, will not call him on this.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bob, it's just unfortunate that we don't have a larger voice. We do have a voice, but it's sort of, it's in the bottom of a bowl somewhere. It's just too bad that this program and that people that know what the score is can't really speak out and beat their ears down.
Well, you know what, Ed? We grow a little bit more at this show every night, and I can tell that from the emails that I read when I get home. You would be amazed to know that people, and we're growing the way really good radio is supposed to grow, Ed, because somebody out in Iowa or Missouri or Kansas hears the show and they say, hey, did you hear about this guy in West Virginia? He's giving George Bush hell, and he's calling the Republicans for what they damned well are. You got to listen to him. And then the next person tells somebody, and they tell somebody, and that's no amount of billboards, newspaper ads, radio, television ads can replace the value of the honest commentary of people who listen and are impressed and share our beliefs and know that we are talking about the salvation of the republic.
Yep. Well, let me go on, because I know time's going to run
out.
I didn't mean to
yammer over your nickel there, Ed.
Sir?
I didn't mean to yammer on over your nickel.
No. The main thing is I was going to just express some of my feelings and get you to comment on. I want to make sure I'm not oaring my own boat all the way. I think, you know, this is a personal opinion. I don't know how you'll feel about this, but I think we should have let this thing play out over these nominees and stuff and call the Republican bluff and shut down. I'm talking about shutting down the government. Now, I believe the Democrats could have done that, And a lot of people, you hear them holler, well, it was a compromise. We kept it going. And I really admire the two guys, the one from Virginia, the Republican, and Byrd for putting it together. But I would have still rather, I guess I probably want to roll the dice too high. I say call them. Let's roll.
Well, now, you just come from a school of thought, Ed, where when you've been abused long enough, you dump your water out and nothing else moves.
Yeah, that's right. And if they would have had guts enough or whatever you want to classify it to shut down the government, I say shut it down. Because I agree with what I think that I understood, Jim, is to say that it's coming anyway.
Yeah.
And if you're going to hit me in the mouth and I have to wait, it would be healed up if you hit me right now.
Yeah, by the time
it's... By the time that time comes around, it'd be healed.
Yeah, absolutely, Ed. Absolutely. And again, I think, you know, when you consider who was among these appeasers, Joe Lieberman was high on that list, and this man will go time and again to the well for these Republican thugs.
He is a... I can't say it on...
I know. He's a lick spittle.
He could wipe his nose with toilet paper when Bush is around.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, we got to remember the big wet sloppy that Bush gave him after the State of the Union address.
And he loved it.
He was disgusting.
My son-in-law lives in Connecticut, and they're pretty much down on him up there now.
But the thing is, it's my understanding they have absolutely beaten the bushes in Connecticut, no pun intended, trying to find a progressive to run against Joe Lieberman, and there's just nobody that can do it. There's nobody that can muster the money, and there's nobody that can muster the political will.
Yeah.
But Joe Lieberman is an embarrassment to the Democratic Party.
He's an embarrassment to a politician. He's a little suck, is what he is.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of guy that would sell out his union brothers if he was in a union situation.
Yeah.
This is the kind of guy that crosses picket lines.
Yeah, I wouldn't want him backing me in nothing.
No, I wouldn't trust him at my back in a dark alley, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, Bob, I appreciate the comments. I appreciate the understanding on the couple issues that I brought up that I had in doubt whether I was about halfway right or not. But some of my friends and so forth are glad to see a compromise. But I
wouldn't have minded a compromise either, Ed, but this wasn't a compromise.
No, it's still something we're going to have to face, and it was just a temporary...
This is just capitulation and appeasement.
Yeah. Okay, Bob.
All right, thanks, Ed.
I'll see you later, and thank you.
Yes, indeedy. You have yourself a great night, Ed. Always good to hear from you. Again, bowler hats and umbrellas. Need one for Joe Lieberman, that's for sure. And Ben Nelson from Nebraska. Poor fella, I felt like Senator Nelson really, really did act in good faith. But once again, he doesn't understand the stump licker bunch. He doesn't understand the slobs. He doesn't understand these bully boy redneck punks. He doesn't understand them. He thinks you can deal with them honorably. He's about to learn. Time for a bottom of the hour break. This is News Talk 620. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Environmental and citizens groups are opposing efforts to build luxury homes on the rim of the New River Gorge in Fayette County. The groups are concerned that Atlanta-based Land Resource will resurrect its plan for a 4,300-acre residential development. The plan has been on hold since February, and company officials say they needed to redesign their proposal after Congressman Ray Hall indicated his opposition to any development within the National Park Service boundary. Nine groups oppose the development, including West Virginia's Rivers Coalition, the National Committee for the New River, and the National Parks Conservation Association. An environmentalist wants a study of the state's black fly spraying program to see if it is damaging fish. Richard Smith heads Save Our Mountains, which fought the black fly program unsuccessfully in the late 80s. Smith says the spraying is a waste of taxpayer dollars that could be put to better use. He opposes the spraying of BTI on the grounds it disturbs the natural food chain and would like to see studies of fish in the New, Greenbrier, and Bluestone rivers where the spraying has taken place. Smith says there was a large abundance of black flies in the 80s when the spraying took place, but since that time, the cycle is down and there aren't that many gnats around, so he says the state should scrap the black fly program and give the money to DNR so that conservation officers can get a pay raise. The state of West Virginia has filed a lawsuit against a private pilot and his insurance company to recover $577,000 damages to a transmission tower. The 450-foot tower for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is located near Cooper's Rock. The State Department of Administration and the Board of Risk and Insurance Management sued United States Aviation Underwriters and William Guy Pate yesterday in Kanawha County Circuit Court. Pate owned the aircraft that crashed into the tower on May 21st of last year. Ken McLeod of Ontario, Canada, died in that crash. BRIM officials have told the plane's insurers what the repairs cost, but have not been reimbursed, according to the lawsuit. They're asking that a jury award them the cost of the repairing of the transmission tower, plus interest. That's the news. Here's the chilly forecast. Showers and drizzle and miserably cold temperatures tonight with a low near 42. And then for tomorrow, mostly cloudy in the morning, then partly cloudy in the afternoon. Believe it or not, a little bit warmer tomorrow. Temperatures in the mid-60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
George Liberator Bush brought democracy to Iraq, right? He certainly takes every opportunity to tell us so, pointing to that country's newly elected government that, he says, now is the sovereign authority in charge of Iraq's destiny. But how sovereign are they, really? For example, can you imagine considering our own U.S. of A. to be a sovereign democracy if, get this, a foreign power had total control of our CIA? If a nation does not control its own secret intelligence agency, it is not sovereign. So, guess who controls the Iraqi intelligence service? The CIA! The director of this secret police force, Mohammed Abdullah Shawani, was not chosen by the new government, but was handpicked by the Bushites. He reports not to the new Iraqi officials, but to the CIA, which provides all of IIS's funding. In fact, immediately after January's elections, U.S. forces moved Iraq's National Intelligence Archives into U.S. headquarters in Baghdad, putting them off limits to the very elected officials that George W. so loudly touts as that country's sovereign leaders. As one leading lawmaker in the new government bluntly puts it, the Iraqi intelligence service is not working for the Iraqi government, it's working for the CIA. I prefer to call it the American Intelligence Service of Iraq. Why put this iron clamp on a supposed democracy? Because the Bushites don't trust the new leaders or the idea of real democracy. They say that Iraq's elected government is too friendly with neighboring Iran, so the leaders cannot be allowed the freedom of being, well, sovereign democratic leaders. Also, the CIA has spent a lot of time spying on the politicians whom the Iraqis have now voted into office, and the Bushites want to keep this information secret from the people and their chosen leaders. This is Jim Hightower saying, a government that's under the thumb of the CIA is neither sovereign nor a democracy.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. Libraries need your help. They are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the magnet.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
In he's got the heart of a conservative. Pickled in a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
And I love them pickles. Yes, I do. 23 minutes before 9 o'clock, we're halfway through a Tuesday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And Ed brought up a couple of good topics in his phone call during the last half hour. Not the least of which is this stem cell business. And I'm not kidding. I sat there and bear in mind, I watched on C-SPAN. C-SPAN's turning into my favorite channel. You know, that's reality television. To the extent that any reality at all happens in the halls of Congress, that's reality television. Now, I'm still waiting for it to go back to the good old days when people call each other out, and I really think we ought to lift the prohibition on dueling. But to see people in real time talking government business, and you can say they are so bound by their little rules of civility that since they can't, you know, right honorable representative from Sugarland, Texas, the House Majority Leader, the scum-sucking dirt bag of all time, can't say that. Might get called out in a duel. So they have to make do with what they've got. They have to make lemonade out of lemons. My good friend. You know, you can hear the vitriol dripping. It was kind of weird, though, because there were Democrats and Republicans standing up. By far, now, don't get me wrong, by far more Republicans than Democrats. We must leave these frozen embryo sickles in the freezer so as we can preserve life. I mean, what are these? Are these so-called pro-life? You know, what a contradiction in terms that is. But are these so-called pro-life Republicans going home at night and watching Futurama? I mean, do they somewhere in their weird, twisted little imaginations, do they think that somebody's going to come along? I want to adopt that embryo right there, and I hope it hasn't been damaged by the cryogenic freezing. I want that embryo. No, the good white embryo. Yes, that one. Do they expect that to happen? These embryos belong to people. And it is for them to say what happened. No, because the Republicans are going to come into your, well, it's not your bedroom anymore, it's your freezer. You can't defrost that embryo, that's a life! You damn dummy, that's not a life. That's four or five little cells that are in suspended animation. The one between the fish sticks and the, what were the other ones? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I want that embryo over there. Oh, you're catching on, Jesse. You're catching on. The one between the fish sticks and the Haagen-Dazs. The Cherry Garcia embryo, please. None of that chunky monkey. Oh, but am I to understand from listening to these darn fool Republicans today in the House of Representatives, am I to understand that they equate embryos with babies? Really? I mean, do they really, really do that? Nah, come on, they're kidding. This was a joke, right? They don't really think that a blastocyst is a baby, do they? I mean, I know some of these people had late midlife conversions and stuff and got all religion industry after leading hedonistic lives in college. But I don't think you could have an acid flashback bad enough to make you confuse an embryo with a baby. And so I heard some right-wing freak from Texas. I'm sorry to my Texas friends. I'm sorry. What's wrong down there? You send these bizarre, there are districts that send these bizarre people to Congress who think embryos are babies. Honey, you know, 2 o'clock and instead of the crying, you hear some sort of machine beeping. Meep, meep, meep. Honey, it's time to feed the embryo. Boop, boop, boop. Oh, honey, it's 3 o'clock. It's time to change the embryo. Oh, my God. This is, it's just astonishing to me. People are waiting. People are hoping. People are praying. And you see, unfortunately, not all stem cells are created equal. Cord blood stem cells, not as good as an embryonic stem cell. Adult stem cells, not as good as an embryonic stem cell. And you see, these embryos, most of them are destroyed as medical waste. Some of them go for a swim in the toilet. And what I've yet to figure out is this part of the weird apocalypticism of the religion industry? I mean, when the way they believe when Jesus comes down in his golden El Dorado, are the little embryos going to rise up out of the test tubes, out of the freezer? Oh, cold in there. Jeez. Give an embryo a coat next time, would you? It's a little pity coat. It's cold. Is that what it's about? I mean, if that's the case, and this is just something I don't understand from the right-wing religion industry and their apocalypticism, their millennialism, or premillennialism, or postmodern ultra-minimalist millennialism, whatever. For instance, say your loved one is living with a donated heart. And that donated heart came from a committed religion industry premillennialist. Now, when Jesus comes back in his golden Cadillac, right before Pat Robertson gets to kill all the Jews, does that heart go leaping out of the recipient's chest to get all raptured up with the rest of him? I don't know. I mean, these are the high-minded, the high-blown philosophical questions that go right up there with how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. But that's what you're dealing with in this House of Representatives debate. Huge lie. I mean, big, fat, always big, fat, doughy, pasty-faced, white guy. Choose life. Idiot! We're trying to choose life here. You're in the way. You're part of the problem. We're trying to choose life. We're trying to help people with crushed spinal cords, for God's sakes. We're trying to help people with juvenile diabetes. We're trying to help people lead decent lives who have Alzheimer's disease. We are choosing life, you damn fool! Lead, follow, or get out of the way! Choose life. And again, it's, these ugly, pasty-faced, doughy, white guys. Okay, we'll give you the embryo. You gestate it, Jethro. No, not Jethro, sorry. You gestate it, Arlie. Where are you going to gestate it? You going to keep the fetus in a box? But it's to Monty Python. I mean, some guy talking about embryos. Anybody remember Raising Arizona and the support group there in the prison? And the real big dude, I mean, guy, sometimes I feel like I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. Well, go on, tell us about that. Well, sometimes I get the PMS real bad. Oh! Or who, Mr. Garrison in South Park? Honest to Pete, I do not understand the right wing's fascination with female reproductive issues. I don't know if it's jealousy. I don't know if, we know because of the vast preponderance of evidence that we're seeing on a almost daily basis now, we know that, that there are serious, huge pockets of truly sick, evil perversion in the Republican Party. So does that account for it? I mean, do these Republican congressmen want these embryos to turn into babies so that they can abuse them or send them to their preacher to be abused? Because we know one thing for damn sure. Not a single one of these frozen embryos that's being debated right now, were it brought to full life, not one would be supported by a good conservative Republican. They will sponsor no legislation. They will introduce no program that will reach out and see that one of these embryos, if it ever became a baby, actually had enough to eat every day. But if the child can reach 18, well, by God, then it's plenty good fodder for George Bush to send off to one of his wars, or some other Republican walking in George's footsteps. It was some sort of pitiable comedy to watch in the House of Representatives today. I think it was bug spray delay introduced some creep from the Emory Medical School who sat there and swore up and down. I mean, some institution of higher learning gave this dude an MD degree, and he's standing there talking about how embryos are really babies. They're not. But it all does tie together. Whether it's abortion or embryos that are really babies. Oh, look, honey. Our baby just had cell mitosis. Oh, it's his first mitosis. I mentioned it earlier in the show. I mentioned it last night. These same Choose Life Republicans, had it been left up to them, no polio vaccine, no smallpox vaccine. My God, they're trying to make it so that doctors can get away with not advising parents about the chickenpox vaccine because there was some embryonic tissue used in the first creation of the vaccine. That was an abortion. Never mind how many thousands upon thousands of little children who have been saved the discomfort, the irritation, the sickness, and in fact, yea, verily, even the death associated with chickenpox. No matter how many lives in being have been saved, these weird, God, there goes Bob, he's calling names again. What else can you call them but weird? Committed. Let's call them committed persons with deep ethical trouble. No! No! Ethical troubles are problems that you have when, say, little son Hudson is clinging to life in a Houston, Texas hospital, and they kill him because George Bush signed a law that said if black parents don't have enough money, you can kill the baby. That is an ethical dilemma. It is no ethical dilemma to say, well, you know, we're either going to flush the embryo down the toilet or we're going to use it to save somebody's life. That's not an ethical dilemma. So what in the world else do you want to call these Republicans? Bizarre? Twisted? Weird? Misguided? Misanthropic? I don't know! I honestly don't know. Because I cannot get on the same intellectual playing field with them, and I don't think it's because they're more well-developed than me. Because I understand that this is a complicated world. And science only makes things more complicated. And these people yearn for a day that was less so. Arguably, I suppose, in a simpler world when you could just say, well, little Susie died of polio today, God's will, and because you lived in an unscientific, ignorant time and you could blame it on demons or ill humors or bad spirits and some preacher would come along and say, yes, that's right, God's will. Maybe that's easier for these kind of people. Maybe it is. Maybe it's the same simplistic ease by which they can say, well, Saddam was a bad man who wore jockey shorts, and therefore we have to kill a whole bunch of people over there who didn't even know him. I don't know. Do you? All right. Yeah, Bugs Bunny. Ooh, I'm dying again! I don't get them. I can't figure them out for the life of me. Are they really being honest when they... Cheers, life. Save the embryo shickles. Cheers, life. And you know how I sort of relate things to one another. Every time I hear, cheers, life, I get this image of George Michael singing Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, or what was it, I'm Your Father Figure, whatever, with the big white t-shirt, choose life. No, that was Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, wasn't it? Yeah. Back in his Wham days, big white t-shirt, choose life. You know, these people are so damned unoriginal, they can't help ripping off gay 80s pop stars. It's pitiful. Choose life. Oh, God. Oh, God, you sad, stupid Republicans. We are choosing life. And we want to make life better because Democrats. We want to take care of children. We want to see that they have enough food to eat every day. And we don't want them wasted in trumped-up wars for no good reason. But we have this highly developed moral sense, and we can tell the difference between an embryo and a living being. We can tell the difference between the dog droppings and the dog. But I guess that's too complicated for the Republican Party. Seems to me that anybody with more than a room temperature IQ should be able to figure it out. But they can't. And we know that they're rotten, morally dead, ethically bankrupt hypocrites to begin with, because, as I said, they never campaign to feed the hungry. They never campaign to put roofs over the homeless, to give warmth in the cold. Nope, they don't do that. They just sit around in their little t-shirts sending their fat, doughy, pasty-faced, white, middle-aged husbands out of cheers, life. It's astonishing. It is truly, honest to God, astonishing. How about you? If your loved one could benefit by embryonic stem cell research, would you support that? Is it worth your tax dollars, or are your tax dollars better spent blowing up Iraqi families? Easy call for me. Of course, I have that highly developed moral and ethical sense. I am, in short, a Democrat. The phone number is 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. When we come back from the news, you're welcome with your comments. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Years ago, Lewis and Clark discovered the West. That is, if you don't count the millions of American Indians who discovered it first. Because in 1804, Lewis and Clark left one civilization only to encounter dozens of others. Rich, diverse cultures like the Lemhi Shoshone, Clatsops, and Mandan Hadatsis. Cultures that had thrived on the Great Plains and Pacific Coast for thousands of years and despite everything are still here today. The Indians Lewis and Clark met could have ended their expedition many times, but saved it instead. Many times. With their food, horses, and compassion. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover. Because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
They were charged with finding an all-water route to the Pacific, yet less than half of them knew how to swim. They nearly starved, ran out of supplies, and failed in their primary mission. So why 200 years later do Lewis and Clark still fascinate us? Maybe it's because it was a military expedition notable for battles that didn't happen. Or because the Indians they met gave them food, horses, and guidance. Maybe it's the teenage mother and the slave who were allowed to speak their minds. Or was it because they chronicled a breathtaking and abundant American landscape? For 3 years, Lewis and Clark traveled a trail of tolerance, enlightenment, and adventure that, we'd soon find out, was too good to be true. It's a trail that still winds through us all. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Honey, can you pour me some water?
Yeah, sure.
This year, United Way helped provide over 29,627 prescriptions for the uninsured and gravely ill in Wichita. We called upon 65 pharmacies, 100 social services, and 604 volunteer physicians. Together, we helped over 1,623 patients cope with pneumonia, hepatitis, even cancer. And it doesn't matter.
How do you feel?
The number of pills and programs doesn't really matter. What matters is each new day they make possible.
I feel great.
What matters? United Way.
WWNR Beckley.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Colin's big brother Justin Hill.
Hi.
Are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See, I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock at Head On, I'm Bob Kincaid, and the phone number is, I'm trying to note, with real frequency, 252 frequency, see, radio joke, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Got an email in from our friend David in South Carolina over the during the break, talking about the stem cell issue. He says, yeah, these are the same folks that wanted to let my grandson have life support cut off because of a power bill. He has spina bifida, and stem cells might help him live. Nope, sorry, David, he's not pro-life enough. I guess he just doesn't have a love, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be mean, but he doesn't have the right kind of life as maybe some good religion industry right-wing Republican. You see, you got to understand, at the core of all this, there is some ugly, ugly classism. Because, you see, they talk about how these Republicans do. They talk about how they're anti-abortion and they're pro-life. When was the last time you caught wind of a... When was the last time you heard of a right-wing pro-life Republican introducing legislation to make it a felony for a wealthy white woman to fly out of the country to go to some other country and have her baby aborted? Ding, 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 ding. I'll take never for 1,000, Alex. You are correct. Never. And you never will. This is about the forced... come on. You know where the ideas come from. This is about the enforced breeding of a servant class. This is about the enforced breeding of cannon fodder, so that they will have to go and die. and the precious little important lives of the pasty-faced, doughy white families of the Republican Party can sit at home and say, "We support the troops," while the troops get blown into their constituent body parts and have them heaved explosively all over the streets of Baghdad. That's your Republican Party hard at work being pro-life. I despise them. To the very core of my being, I despise them. Back to the phones. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne. See, I told you you could come back.
I'm there.
Oh, different Wayne.
Yes, different Wayne.
Oh, okay.
I listen to you quite frequently, and sometimes you humor me.
Well, I'm glad I could humor you.
Yeah, you were talking, mentioned about vaccinations.
Yes.
And as a father of two vaccine-injured children,
uh-huh.
And as a pro-life Christian conservative, I can tell you your information is incorrect.
Well, no, it's not.
Well, I've done 10 years of research. I don't know how much you've done, but there has not been a person died in the United States since 1974 that has not been attributed to the vaccine itself.
Well, so you're telling me no one has died of chickenpox?
Nobody dies from chickenpox. Nobody.
Wrong.
No, they die from complications of chickenpox.
Oh, well, we're hair-splitting now, aren't we, Wayne?
Well, no, it's the truth. It's nobody dies from measles. Nobody dies from whooping cough. Nobody dies from mumps. We live, you're basing your information on information that was 50 years old, that now we can take a bath every day. We can wash our hands frequently.
Only in the last 50 years.
Yeah, well, the polio vaccine was introduced in, 1954?
Sure, okay.
Okay. Well, since that time, in 1954, polio was already on the decline.
So if we had just left it alone, it would have gone away all by itself.
Well, you would kind of think so, considering the bubonic plague went away by itself.
And it crops up, from time to time. There are yearly cases in the United States of bubonic plague.
There is, yes, but we have the medical technology of antibiotics.
So what, Wayne? We've prayed them away? Is that it?
No. And I get really frustrated. You using, you sound so anti-religion and so evil. When you
I'm evil.
Religion.
I'm evil.
Well, you always throw up religion to the Republican right, and I don't use the Republican right
religion. Wayne, I throw it up to the Republican right. I had religion crammed down my throat for an entire election cycle by the Republican right. I saw, Wayne, the pamphlet that the Republican National Committee mailed only to West Virginia and Arkansas because they thought that's where the really stupid people were, but said John Kerry's going to take away your Bible and let the queers get married. I saw that.
Well, it's a matter of, I agree with you, it's a matter of intelligence, being an intelligent person, because I don't condone it, and I don't look down upon it, but I will not speak badly of them. I won't go out there and beat up a queer.
You won't, and you won't speak badly of drop-dead anti-scientific ignorance either, apparently.
Well, no. There is a lot of scientific ignorance.
No, anti-scientific ignorance.
Well,
anti-scientific.
When you look at West Virginia, West Virginia is only one of two states in the entire United States that does not allow a philosophical or religious exemption to vaccinations. I had to go to Bob Kiss, which is a Democrat, and I voted for Bob Kiss, and I'm a Republican, and I voted for Nick Joe Rahal.
Mm-hmm.
And you always talk about us being mainstream Republicans that vote a straight ticket. I do not.
Well, good for you. That shows there's at least some cogitation going on there, Wayne.
Well, there's a lot of thought goes on. And I understand there's a lot of people that don't have the ability to think. But I'm one of them.
And there's a lot of people, Wayne, that cast aside their ability to think.
Sure.
That reject intellectual thought. That reject consideration.
I don't always agree with everything President Bush is doing right now, and I voted for him. But I tell you what, he's much better of a leader than anything we had that we could have had at the time.
Really?
But I can tell you one thing, President Bush, if he tells you he's going to sucker punch you in the mouth, he's going to do it. And that's what's making everybody mad.
Well, the thing is, he's never had the guts to sucker punch anybody in the mouth, Wayne.
He did with Iraq. He did with Saddam Hussein.
Well, hell's bells, Wayne. How much guts does it take for a big old 90-pound bully to sucker punch a 10-pound baby? That's what Iraq was.
Right, Iraq, but we need it to be in Iraq, and I support.
For what reason?
For what reason? It's because those people are suppressed, and you have to look deep inside your heart, and you have to think. And I've got friends, and I have numerous of my clients that have children that are over there. I mean, 18, 19, 31-year-olds. They're over in Fallujah right now. I just talked to a lady. Her son's in Fallujah, and he's over sweeping mines. And I told her, I said, I'm going to pray for your son because I think that he's doing a wonderful job. And if I ever get a chance to shake his hand, I'm going to say thank you.
Good for you.
Because he's doing a job.
So we're over there because Saddam was a bad man.
He was, and there's other issues in the Middle East.
Okay.
I agree with you there. There's other issues other than...
Now,
Tom had WMDs, which he did have at one time, and, you know, that was
a
big issue.
Yeah, they were all gone by 1998, but that's, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Right.
But your boy George sat there and shook hands and made smiley face at a man named Aslam Karimov.
Saudi Arabia.
No.
Which one was that one?
That's Uzbekistan. He boils his political opponents alive, Wayne.
You know why we're in Uzbekistan?
Yeah.
Because Uzbekistan has a... unbelievable supply of oil. They have more than Saudi Arabia.
you're making my argument for me.
Well, I know that, but it's you know, it's not so much all about oil. It's controlling a little bit of world power.
So Saddam was a bad man who gassed his own people, and we've spent $300 billion that could be much better spent here at home on that. But meanwhile, George Bush is shaking hands with Aslam Karimov, who has his own people machine-gunned in the streets, puts gas masks on them filled with chlorine gas, boils them alive, and that's okay. See, I can't get down with that kind of moral hair splitting.
Well, I understand that completely, and I do not agree with that. You know, I don't agree with I see ulterior motives, but what else would a Democratic president do different? What would John Kerry do different if he was in president right now?
I will be very, very honest with you, Wayne, because that's kind of the heart and soul of this program. I don't know that John Kerry would be doing anything different right now. It was part of my problem with John Kerry.
Yeah.
The Democratic Party had an opportunity to provide a real alternative to George Bush, and through two election cycles, we have still not figured out, Wayne, that being Bush-lite is not a choice.
Well, I could probably agree with you there until somebody can put in someone like John F. K. You know, I can't vote for him. Somebody that has a little more moral character and has a little more stature to him. And
oh my God, how much more moral character did you want than a war hero who is still carrying around shrapnel in his rear end? I mean,
I prefer John McCain, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I think John McCain's the spent a little too much time in the Hanoi Hilton.
He has served his country well, and he is quite probably able to lead this country. I don't know how well as far as his domestic affairs would go.
Well, I guess you'll get your chance in 08 because your choice is largely going to be between Bill the Cat Killer Frist and John McCain.
Well, I would, to be honest with you, I would not be surprised if Hillary Clinton switched over to the Republican Party.
No, she's not going to do that. She's just positioning herself as a traditional Democratic leadership council centrist, moving a little further to the right every day, because that's what the DLC has, is this notion that Democrats can only win by being a little bit more Republican. Now, I don't know how many more elections we got to lose before we figure out that's wrong.
Yeah, that's my point exactly, because, Hillary was a Republican.
Oh, she was like
a hardline Republican.
She was a Goldwater girl or something, if I understand my history correctly.
Yeah, she was. If she switched over parties, I mean, she'd be a shoe-in.
But I need.
Like if
I need,
she runs on a Democratic ticket, dude, I don't think she's got a chance.
I need to square something up with you, Wayne. I'm not hostile to Christianity at all.
Okay, well, I am not.
I am, however, hostile to the religion industry.
Well, you know,
I am openly hostile to Dobson, Robertson, Falwell, Kennedy,
Swaggart.
Oh God, yes. Oral Roberts, his son Richard, James Robison. You know, very few people know, Wayne, and it is a fact the little law school that Jerry Falwell has?
Yeah, Liberty University.
Well, he's got a law school there. It got in money problems a few years back. Maybe the whole university did. It was bailed out by the Reverend Moon.
Oh, boy.
James Robison down in Texas has a so-called ministry. Again, he's on the dole with Reverend Moon. Now, if you study up on Reverend Moon, you'll find out that it's pretty scary.
Oh, Reverend Moon is scary.
And the thing is, he is pervasive through the religion industry. You know, you got a guy in Dobson who has, as a very close personal friend, this guy, H. David Hager, who was with the Food and Drug Administration, who in the divorce papers, sworn testimony from his wife of 32 years, who finally just couldn't take it anymore, she divorced the creep and talked about how he anally raped her on a regular basis against her will. And again, this is a member of the so-called Christian right, and as a person who is a committed Christian, and I am.
I was
raised in it, and I try to study and live the life that Yeshua, the Palestinian carpenter, talked about. And as such, I cannot have truck with people who do the things that these monsters in the religion industry do. And yet they are the ones passed off to us by the Republican elite as being the models of moral probity in this country.
Well, Bob, you can take any situation and you can multiply it. I've got two family members that are both ministers, and I don't get along with either one of them because the way they push religion, way they push their religion, and the way they act, and the way that you should act, and they don't have the moral character that I have, that I think that they should have, and you know we've been round and round, but that's another story. I think that you can multiply. You know, it's just like take Dale Earnhardt. We'll go to NASCAR now. How's that?
I'll try. I'm not very good at that.
Well, I'm not either. I don't follow it. But, you know, everybody looks at a hero, and they think, you know, and I know I'm going to make a lot of people mad. You know, Dale Earnhardt was not a hero. A true hero was Mother Teresa.
Yes.
You know, that's a definition of a hero.
Right. And guys that make $25 million a year for fielding ground balls and throwing them to the next guy and occasionally hitting them out of the park,
yes,
those aren't heroes.
No, those are not heroes.
No,
a hero is also a leader, and the true definition of a leader is someone who creates other leaders, not someone who puts people down. Now, we're going through some turmoil in our country right now that we've got a president that is basically, he's got a little bit of tyranny there, and, you know, he's doing what he wants to do.
I mean, you got to remember, this is a guy who said this America would be a lot easier place to govern if it was a dictatorship as long as I was the dictator. He said that, Wayne.
Well, I see that, but, you know, like I said, there is some moral value there, you know, as far as choices we go and as far as what they're doing in politics in Washington. I was in Washington a month ago, and you can just see how they pit against each other. You know, you can see how John McCain, even though I kind of liked the guy at the time, how he, because he lost the presidential bid, now he's trying to ruin the Republicans, and you got the same thing on the other side with Ted Kennedy.
Well, you got to consider with McCain, you got to remember what this man's been through. I mean, not just the Hanoi Hilton stuff, Wayne.
Yeah.
My God, that man ran against Bush in the primaries in 2000, and in South Carolina, ask any South Carolinian, they can tell you about it. Push polls were run by Karl Rove, where South Carolina voters were called and said, "We're taking a poll. How would you feel about John McCain if you knew that he had fathered a little Negro baby?" They did that to him, Wayne.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Bush campaign did that to him.
Well, it's like every each other.
And
that's
see, that's
what I'm saying.
That's where he lost a lot of my respect, because by 2004 he's standing on stages shaking hands and hail fellow well met with a man who accused him of fathering. Oh, you know, not even the nature of the allegation, but the fact that they were deliberately preying on the ancient, ugly, bigoted, hateful stereotypes that to this day live and breathe in the Deep South. And they will play on anything for political advantage. The business about the Baptist Church in North Carolina, where they excommunicated people for voting for Kerry. You know, this is brought on by the politicization of religion. And I think religion, you know, by virtue of the fact that you have to believe in things that you cannot see, hear, feel, touch, taste, smell.
Well, you got to take it
on faith, and to the extent that you have to take it on faith, it is especially odious to me when you take that faith issue and you roll it in the filth and the mud and the grime and the muck that is American politics.
It is there. But going back to John McCain, and you talk about John McCain, he followed Negro Baby. Well, you look at Bill Clinton and him and Monica Lewinsky. You know what? I don't care. You know, lead this country, protect this country. I'm not a matter to judge.
Make this country prosper.
The country is doing well. Housing sales are through the roof right now, and they're going for record prices. And, you know, the country is doing well. There's a lot of positives sometimes I think that you need to focus on as well.
I'm trying to find them, but I don't see them. The fact that housing contractors are making a fortune right now, I don't see that as being good for people who can't afford a house.
Well, no, it's not.
The fact that you're pro-union,
and I'm not pro-union, but I still think the union needs to be in the system. We have to have a system of checks and balances to keep us in check.
You know, I remember when George Bush promised, he said, well, if gas prices go up, I'll go and jawbone my Saudi buddies and we'll get them spigots open. Now that he's got his second term, he stands up and he says, hey, I wish I could wave a magic wand and bring gas prices down, but I can't, and I'm not going to even try. And you know what? Grocery prices are going up as a result. And so, you know,
they're
fuel related. They're fuel cost related. You know.
Well, that's the same thing. You can say the same thing for the minimum wage. I'm not a proponent of not raising the minimum wage, but if you raise the minimum wage, those people at McDonald's in Beckley, West Virginia, they're going to have to raise a Big Mac from $1.99 to $2.09 or $2.19.
And you know what?
To cover their wage, so it just ends up going to the bottom of the food chain.
Well, the fact of the matter is, if I ate at McDonald's, I would gladly pay $2.09 to see somebody who is working two jobs anyway, because they're not making a living working at McDonald's.
Well, I don't eat there, so.
But I would gladly see them, I would gladly pay that $2.09 to see them make a living wage. You know, I believe in the America that I was taught about as a young man growing up. I'm more socially conservative than a lot of people, insofar as, you know, I believe that if a woman wants to stay home and raise her children, that should be her prerogative for living as a function of living in the greatest country in the world. But in fact, the last time where a majority of American households were a father working one job and a mother staying home,
no longer reality.
That was the Carter administration. The knife was put in it when Ronald Reagan took office.
Well, Ronald Reagan Carter done a lot of bad things, and interest rates were, I remember my parents had a home interest loan, it was 18%.
Yeah, Carter inherited a nightmare from Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. Do you remember, if you remember Carter, you remember Ford. Do you remember Ford with his little red WIN buttons with the white letters WIN, and it stood for whip inflation now, and if we all just wore a button, inflation would go away? Do you remember that?
I was prior to that those years, but I do recall some of that in history that I've
read. So Carter inherited that, and yet the Republicans loved nothing.
Carter was a wimp. Gave away the Panama Canal.
Oh, my God. Oh, no, no, no. None of this John Birch stuff, please.
That was just ridiculous. He gave away
something that wasn't, it wasn't his to give away. It wasn't his to take. It was Panama.
Well, I know that, but you threw up to the fact, and I hate that 1,600, and I think it's about 18 now, American soldiers, have lost their lives. Did you know in the Panama Canal, there was over 50,000 to 60,000 people, our American people, that died from malaria.
And yellow fever, absolutely.
And yellow fever. And we built that canal.
Yeah.
So that all these other ships could create more commerce and more trade.
We also manufactured a coup in the government of Colombia to create the country of Panama so that we could get the rights to build the canal, too.
Right. And, it's just like we've shut off Cuba. We still don't have trade relations with Cuba.
Which is dumber in the head than a hog is in the butt.
Well, it is for somebody that likes cigars anyway, and I don't smoke, so.
Well, I got a cigar right here next to me, but no, it's not just that. It's the fact that America exports democracy on a butter plate a lot better than it does on a bayonet.
Yeah, but that don't lay down. You can't narrow that down to one person, and I think there's a lot of guilt on both sides.
But we did, Wayne. We did. I mean, your boy George's uncle, Prescott, is the president emeritus of the U.S.-China Chamber of Commerce, and apparently doing business with the commies over there is okay, and doing business with the commies in Vietnam is okay, but doing business with Castro is somehow wrong. I can't get my head around, Wayne, the dichotomies that one must embrace in order to be a conservative Republican. I can't do it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Like I said, Castro and the Bay of Pigs and all that, when that happened, that was before my time. But what I understand and what I've read in history, it almost reminds me of going back in history to FDR with him and Stalin. You know, FDR was a sick man. He had polio, and he was a sick man.
Well, what was limiting him at Yalta, which I assume is what you're talking about.
Exactly.
What was limiting him at Yalta had not so much to do with his polio as it did with his profound heart condition, but it also had to do with some very real politic.
Yeah, he was trying to play some very real politics
and
with the Soviets.
And the fact of the matter was, we were not prepared to go to war and march on the Soviet Union and have our butts whipped like Hitler was.
Not at the time, no. FDR wasn't strong enough at the time. He wasn't strong enough mentally. He wasn't strong enough.
We didn't have the military to do it.
We didn't have a buildup.
I mean, we had built up just about to the maximum degree of wartime production in the United States, and we still could not have taken the Soviet Union.
Not at the time. Not until we developed the nuke.
And that
stopped it all.
And we also felt like we were going to need the Soviet Union in order to invade Japan because the atom bomb had not been tested or developed as yet.
Yeah.
So, this whole business that George trotted out where he spits on the memory of FDR, I found profoundly insulting and what's more, as usual when we're talking about George Bush, purely, simply, and utterly duplicitous. They hate FDR as much as they hate anybody, simply because of Social Security, the New Deal, and the fact that we decided that maybe as a nation we'd like to take care of those less fortunate than the filthy rich. And they despise that. Wayne, I've really enjoyed the conversation.
You're at the bottom of the hour.
I gotta go, man. Thanks. Okay. I hope we'll hear from you again. Take care.
Thanks.
I still can't get my head around the dichotomies that have to be that are involved in order to be a Republican. And again, we didn't even get to some of the core issues. How do you say that you're pro-life? How do you say that you're pro-life, and yet social programs are communism? Can't figure it out. And I have yet to this day to hear a cogent answer for the same. Let's take our break. When we come back, Slytherin Scotty McClellan has come up out of his snake hole. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Looks like it is indeed a tragic example of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Huntington police say three of those four teens killed at a high school prom Sunday night may have been shot to prevent them from identifying the person or persons who shot the fourth. The four were killed Sunday morning on the front lawn of an apartment where one of the victims, 19-year-old Dante Ward, lived. Captain Steve Hall says Ward may have been the target. The other victims were 18-year-old Edric Clark of South Point, Ohio, 17-year-old Michael Dillon of Huntington, and 16-year-old Megan Poston of Barbersville. Poston was Dillon's date to his prom at Huntington High School on Saturday night. A former assistant state school superintendent has pleaded guilty to federal charges of extortion and filing a false tax return. Glenn Allen McClung's plea today in U.S. District Court involves his role in the awarding of contracts to help McDowell and Wyoming County schools recover from flooding in 2001. Huntington City Council has rejected a proposal to double the city's hotel occupancy tax to 6%. The council voted on the measure last night after hearing concerns from a hotel manager that the tax would put his establishment at a disadvantage to hotels outside the city. In the wake of last week's mauling of a toddler by a pit bull in Huntington,
A state lawmaker is proposing that those who own vicious dogs carry more insurance. Monongalia County Delegate Cindy Fritch says she doesn't want to outlaw breeds like pit bulls and Rottweilers, but she says owners of these kind of dogs have some responsibility to protect people. Last Tuesday, that pit bull named Brutus attacked and killed 2-year-old Ariano Fleeman in Huntington. Fleeman's mother was seriously injured when she tried to protect her daughter and pull the dog off. Fritch says her own niece was attacked 5 years ago by a pit bull and needed 400 stitches on her face. That's the news. Here's the forecast. Miserable. Tonight, showers and drizzle, low near 42. But tomorrow, maybe some relief. Cloudy in the morning and then becoming partly cloudy by afternoon and a little bit warmer. Tomorrow's high in the mid-60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When do you need to know?
You know us. We're your neighborhood leader drugstore. Independently owned by people who care, we're able to give you fast, friendly service, and we're proud of our prices. Generic, Leader brand, or national, Leader prices are hard to beat.
You really can save. Leader TruTrack blood glucose monitoring system, only $19.99, and 50-count test strips, only $23.99. This month only at participating stores. Compare and save, and you'll see why Leader is the place to go.
Leader, it's your neighborhood. It's your drugstore.
And now, today's health report. Cutting calories. If you're always looking for new ways to cut calories, dining out can pose a real challenge. Joy Bauer, registered dietitian and author of Cooking with Joy, offers these tips that can help save 100 calories each. If you're in the mood for seafood, skip the salmon and order grilled shrimp or yellowfin tuna. Or if you prefer a Caesar salad, be sure to order it without croutons. If your meal comes with a baked potato, substitute 2 tablespoons of salsa for 1 tablespoon of butter or margarine. Pizza lovers who just can't resist may want to ask for half the cheese and double the broccoli. And choose low-fat cheese over the whole milk kind. If you've got a sweet tooth and want to stop for ice cream, choose a frozen fruit bar instead. This has been today's health report to help you stay healthier longer, brought to you by Leader Drugstores. Find the location at the Leader Drugstore nearest you at myleader.com. Leader Drugstores, it's your neighborhood, it's your drugstore.
Welcome to Green and Growing, the lawn care show with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, I love my new mower. Any safety tips?
Oh, I'm sure I can think of something. Read your operator's manual and pay close attention to all warning labels. Wear eye protection, long pants, and leather shoes. No loose clothes that might catch. Be extra careful walking backwards with a walk-behind mower, and don't run over your own toes. To help retain stability when mowing hills, riding mowers should mow up and down, while walk-behind mowers should travel across hills.
What if something clogs my mower? Should I try and fix it myself?
Mower blades move fast, about 200 miles an hour, so never put your hand inside a mower to clear a clog. John Deere says shut off the mower and investigate jams using a stick or a tool. For anything more than a simple clog, though, take your mower to the dealer for service.
Thanks, Bill. Tune in again for Green and Growing.
It's the first annual Beckley Auto Mall Poker Run. This Memorial Day, May 30th. Profits to benefit the Relay for Life American Cancer Society. Registration begins at 9 a.m. The first bike out at 10 a.m. The last bike in at 4:30. Best hand wins $200. Second best hand, $100. If you've got the worst hand, you get $50. Only $10 for entry and $5 for your passenger. The run starts and ends at Beckley Auto Mall. And it doesn't matter what you ride. All makes of bikes are welcome. The first annual Beckley Auto Mall Poker Run. Memorial Day starting at 9 a.m.
You know, it just occurred to me during the break. I'm sorry, I get a good conversation and we kind of go all over the place with it. Because I enjoy conversation for conversation's sake. I think we've got to agree that we're not going to solve any of the world's problems here, but we can talk about solutions to them. So consequently, we go all over the place with the conversation. But early on, Wayne mentioned an issue with vaccines. Now, it should be noted, I think it's already passed. I'm not entirely certain. Somebody can help me out with this. But the GOP, because greater love hath no party than the GOP hath for the pharmaceutical industry, the GOP... is and has been hard at work on bills that would provide immunity for pharmaceutical manufacturers of vaccines for ingredients in those vaccines that lead to birth defects, that lead to health problems that follow from the administration of the vaccine. Again, the Republican Party is not out there for you and me on a monthly budget working day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray. Now, I'm not some sort of Pollyanna that thinks that the Democratic Party is always looking out for me. I know better. You know, when you're hustling bond issues that are gonna redistribute wealth upward to people who don't even have to pay taxes, and at the same time you're doing that, you're using the state plane to fly down and pick up your yacht. Yeah, look, Democrat, not a Democrat. You're not looking out for me. You're not looking out for the well-being of the middle class. Sorry. So, no, absolutely not. But I share more values in common with the Democratic Party: freedom, a respect for constitutional provisions, okay? A decent respect for the hard work of the middle class, a recognition of what organized labor has done for this great nation, a recognition that might be a good idea if everybody in the country could go to the doctor when they get sick. I share these in common with the Democratic Party. My biggest problem with the Democratic Party is a spine issue. Now, the relatively new chairman of our Democratic Party, Howard Dean, will be in Charleston tomorrow. I will be in Charleston. Hope to meet him. Say a word or two. Maybe even get him on the show. But the one thing he and I do seem to agree on is that the Democratic Party is still desperately in need of a spine. And, what's that? The wisdom to tell the difference when it comes to things like questions between compromise and appeasement. Like what went down last night and today. Appeasement. And as I've noted before, there's no fixing the Republican Party. The Republican Party is in the jaws of the hateful religion industry, and they have a death grip on it, like a pit bull. And what part of the Republican Party is not consumed by that pit bull, there's another pit bull called the corporate elite. And they've got the other half of the party. And you're never going to wrench those jaws off the Republican Party. There's no saving it. There is an opportunity to save the Democratic Party. It may take time. May? Hell, it will. And it'll take a lot of sweat, and it'll take a lot of work, and it'll take a lot of fight. But right now, it is the only political party that we can save, and the only political party in which we ordinary, middle-class, working people can have a voice. There is no voice for working people in the Republican Party, unless you want to stand there and say, the homos are breaking up my marriage. Now, if you're a working guy, you're welcome in the Republican Party if you're willing to stand there and mouth the lines. My marriage is falling apart because there's some homos are getting married in Massachusetts. Okay? But that's all you're welcome for. Well, you're welcome if you can stand up and say, them trial lawyers is ruining America. Them trial lawyers standing up for people who got butchered by some damn doctor, they're ruining America. Yeah, you're welcome to say that, too. But if you want to stand up and say, you know, listen, I'm going broke providing health care for my family every month, if you even have the opportunity to have it, you're not welcome in the Republican Party. If you believe that maybe Medicaid allotments to the states are as important as a new fighter jet, you're not welcome in the Republican Party. The tent is little bitty, and it only has room for a very few issues. Understand? I hope you do. Let's go back to the phones. You guys have got to learn to. We got to Jesse, buddy, you got to answer the phone. And let's go to Wilbur. Hey, Wilbur, you're head on. Yo, Wilbur. No, that's not Wilbur. Hey, Wilbur, is that you? Wilbur.
I've been called other things.
Well, okay, now that's Jim. Okay, let's try Wilbur. Hey, Wilbur. You there?
Can you hear me, Bob?
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay. Well, I was going to call. I think sometimes you're just a little bit hard on the Republicans.
Just a little bit.
Republican. I know some, and I have some friends, and dare I say, even some relatives.
No, I do too. I do too. It makes the reunions real tough.
But there are some things that, you know, you can have a little compassion for the Republicans. Have you thought, for example, about some of the suffering that they're going through?
How so?
Think about the inflation in the cost of politicians. the Republicans now, when they go out fundraising, they can deliver. You know, the pharmaceutical bill.
Yeah.
The bankruptcy bill.
Yeah.
They can say, we can deliver the goods. It's going to cost you now.
Well, that's true. I mean, and that's the Republican Party has always been better than the Democrats at that.
Yeah, and well, they've always been better, and the price has gone up because now, you know, if you're going to call up and say you want to talk to Carl, Carl's got to say, well, you know, what have you done for me?
Lately.
Yeah.
Not last month, last week.
Because they've, with their track record, they can deliver the goods. So if you're going to get on their agenda, you got to be able to pony up some pretty serious money.
And the likes of you and me are not likely to do that.
That's right. So the Republicans have got what they wanted. They got control of all the branches of government, but they can do pretty much whatever they want. But then anybody who wants to get something done is going to have to really be able to pay up.
Oh yeah, and I think I've touched on that from time to time, Wilbur. But it is getting a lot more expensive.
You know, the cost of living is going up. So when we talk about Republicans being greedy, realize they're under some pressure.
Well, they are. But the sad thing is, they're not going to just pass it back down to Republicans. You know, the pharmaceutical industry is going to pass it to all of us.
Well, and that's where I think that I think they're getting a, their agenda is a little more transparent sometimes than maybe we realize. You know, I haven't heard very much discussion of the ownership society.
Well, we had one of those once. We fought a war to end it.
Well, now we have an ownership society, kind of up front and center about it.
Yeah.
But I heard you... It's hard for me to call because I don't get off work till about 9 o'clock. So I only catch part of your show and then I'm driving home. But, I heard you, it's almost 2 weeks ago. You were talking about a hypothetical granny who was trying to live on her Social Security.
Yeah, that hypothetical was generated by the Bush administration.
And how her, food stamps would be cut once the pharmaceutical benefit kicks in.
Right, from $27 a month to $10.
But what you look at it from this ownership society point of view.
Okay, help me with that one.
Well, the benefits go to the owners. What did Granny do to participate in the ownership society? Did she start a business? Did she own some rental property? How's her investment portfolio? How did she end up just living on Social Security?
Right. All she did was bust her rear end while her husband went to work.
Yeah,
and
she probably wasted her life raising kids or working for a living.
You may be more sardonic than I am, Wilbur.
Well, Well, but I mean, you know, if she had understood the ownership society, she would have understood the kind of the basic premise of the way things are, that labor is for losers, and ownership is everything. That's the mantra.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It absolutely is. And then I find that pitiful.
This country has tax code and now a bankruptcy code that favors owners of property and businesses.
Yeah, and just ask the Horizon Miners or the workers from United or Polaroid or Weirton Steel. Yeah, they can tell you about the ownership society.
Because the owners, you know, the country needs to be able to stimulate business, and sometimes that means cutting off the benefits and cutting out the pensions and allowing the business to go bankrupt.
And it's going to be really good for the cat food industry.
That's the way it is. So people should, you know, Granny should, you know, go start a business, buy some rental property, don't waste her life working for wages. You know, you only work for wages until you can buy something and become an owner. It reminds me kind of like the idea of being winning the lottery. I think the Republicans are prospering because they foster the idea that everybody could be one of them.
Exactly. And again, they are much better with the message than us. I don't know if you caught Howard Dean on Meet the Press last Sunday, but he said something that was very trenchant, Wilbur. He said, one of the problems we Democrats have is that we want to tell you everything we know about an issue. On the other hand, you get George Bush, he says four words 100 times a day, and the next thing you know, it's all over the country.
Uh-huh.
And he's absolutely right. Wilbur, I've really enjoyed this. I hope I'll hear from you again.
Well, I'll try to call in, but it's always going to be late.
Well, that's okay, and if you get a chance, if you got a computer at home, you can catch the front end of the show at whiterosesociety.org.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, take care.
Okay.
Good hearing from you. And let's see, other Wayne, or Wayne 1. You there, Wayne? No, that's Jim.
Hey, Doc.
Okay, stand by. We're going. Hold on.
I just want to ask something.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to ask Wilbur this. When these Republicans die, are you there?
No, Wilbur's gone.
Okay. I'll ask Wilbur this. When these Republicans and their ownership society die, how much are they going to own then?
It's a plot. It's about 4 feet wide by 7 feet long by 6 feet deep. And the law of West Virginia says they don't even own that. It's more in the way of a permanent easement.
Well, let me ask you a second question.
Okay.
Just exactly, what are they going to have to own up to when they stand before God?
Well, I don't think Wilbur was defending it, Jim.
I know that, but since he surfaced that issue of the ownership society.
Oh, yeah.
And has justified it with capitalist logic, okay?
Right.
Then I simply, since these people are so spiritual,
but
or pretend to be so spiritual, what I would like to ask simply is this. And they say that a granny should become an owner when she can barely own her own dress that she's got on her back. How in the world can they expect that? And you know something?
Well, again, I don't think Wilbur expects it, Jim. He was knocking on it. It was ringing as hollow to him as it did to me.
Well, I think so too. But this just surfaced something in my own mind, Bob. And that is this, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think to pay from the good book, it is easier for a rich man to pass through the eye of a needle, or it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. And what profiteth a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul?
And that's, you know, don't these people have any idea of their own mortality?
When we're talking about the greed and avarice end of the Republican Party, Jim, we're talking about people who will capitalize and exploit the religion industrialists, but they don't believe it worth diddly. Okay, there's no afterlife, there's no pie in the sky when you die. They're going to get it here now because they're pretty well convinced it's the only trip they're going to make.
Well,
so they're not worried.
There could be somebody else who may have a different opinion. And, you know, they may be having to answer some very serious questions one day that they wish they would not have to have answered.
That may very well be the case, but it also sort of dovetails with the old German song that the monk, about the monks who said the reason we drink In heaven there is no beer, that's why we drink it here. Yeah, so it's that kind of thing. Let me move on, Jim. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Hey, they also said tomorrow belongs to me, too.
They did. They did indeed. Later. And Wayne. Hey, Wayne. Oh, Wayne.
Hey.
Hey. No beep.
Really enjoyed Wilbur.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was real good. I hope he calls back some more. I know time's running out here. I just want to remind everybody Howard Dean's coming to Charleston tomorrow.
Right.
I hope to be there. I don't know.
11 o'clock and the, I think, at 11 o'clock everything starts and then I think he speaks at 11:30, right?
11, that's the information I got.
Right.
And like I said, I hope to be there. I'm real excited about Howard Dean. I'm really proud that he's head of this party. I think he's exactly what this party needs. And, you know, we have to move away from the corporations and that's what Howard Dean will do.
I think you're absolutely right. We got it. And daggum it, we got to grow a little backbone and he's pretty good for that too.
Yeah, he is. He said, did you see him on Meet the Press?
Yeah, I absolutely did.
Is that what it was? What
yeah.
Show I
yeah, it was Tim Russert.
I saw some of them. But he's the same Howard Dean. Howard, he doesn't avoid any question. He answers it. He answers it directly. And, you know, anybody that has a problem with that is foolish.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. He's a good man.
I think he is. I really hope I get to chat with him a little bit tomorrow.
I hope you do, too.
And,
You know, I don't know if I'm going to be there or not, man. Maybe I'll bump into you.
Okay, great. I'll keep an eye out for you.
Okay, I'm going to try.
All right, we'll see you, Wayne.
Have a good evening.
Later. Yeah, come on out. Good, decent, upstanding liberal progressives. Come on out and see Howard Dean. See the spine of the Democratic Party. And I guess that's what puts some people off. He will tell you what he thinks. You know, he's what we keep talking about. I wish we had a politician like Harry Truman. He is a politician like Harry Truman, but the so-called liberal media ran him out of a presidential election. Never mind. Hope to see you there. 11 o'clock, and he speaks at 11:30. Democratic headquarters, right there, kind of on the corner there at Greenbrier Street and Kanawha Boulevard. Be there or be Republican, of course. The show tonight, of course, produced by the intrepid Jesse Fulmer, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. I like to think that, your safety is their business. The show is archived every night by Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org. If you missed any part of any show, you can always go there and catch up on it at your leisure. Ben's in the middle of a fundraising drive these days. He provides his archiving services to head on without charge and relies on the support of those who utilize his services. So remember that and be good to Ben. Hey, Agnes!